3, verse 1 through 3. I'm going to jump over to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, read 8 through 10, and finish off with Romans 6, 16. Amen? Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now Hebrews 11, verse 8. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner living in a tent. And so did Isaac and Jacob, to whom God gave the same promise. Abraham did this because he was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. Finishing up with Romans 6:16. Do you not know that if you present yourselves as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, either of sin resulting in death, or obedience resulting in righteousness? I want to talk from the subject, under the influence.
All right.
Under the influence. The word influence, the power to produce effect, indirectly or through an intermediary, the condition of being affected. One exercising indirect power to sway or affect. For someone to have influence over you, you have to give it to them. Here we have Genesis, God dealing with Abram at the time. He told Abram to get out of the country and from your kindred, and from your father's house unto a land I will show thee. What's the significance of following God? He says that if you go, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And here's the second part of that, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And this is merely based on his obedience to God's word. Now some might say, why do I have to leave what I'm used to and I'm familiar with just to be blessed by God? Abraham was 75 years old. In other words, he was at the retirement age. At 75, I ain't trying to go nowhere. I'm trying to go fishing somewhere and relax. And here God comes shaking some stuff up. Abraham had not had a child, had not had an heir. He was just 75 years old, him and his wife. God said, I need you to leave. Why leave? It would appear to me that for 75 years, Abraham was surrounded by what he knew. And because he was surrounded by what he knew, he did nothing. But obviously, he was close to God because God pulled him out. But he said, I need you to leave what's familiar and to go where it's not familiar. And if you are obedient to my call, I'm going to make you great. See, there's a problem with hanging around where you are and wanting to be great when you're not around greatness. And what happens is you get complacent with where you are and your environment overtakes you. See, many of us love the Lord, but we're not willing to be obedient to the Lord. We're not willing to go wherever God says go. And if he says go, we need specifics. Remember when I was in Atlanta, I knew that I had to leave. And I told y'all before, it's been a long time, but I had a dream of coming back to Baltimore. But to get here, you have to pass several states. And so in my dream, I was like, Lord, I know that it's time for me to leave. And I know I'm supposed to be going into Maryland, but you know, Maryland is kind of rough. And so since I got to go past South Carolina, can I stop right here? I said, I can make it here in South Carolina. I think this might work. The Lord said, no, that's not where I need you. I come up to North Carolina. I said, well, you know, it ain't but two states from Georgia. I'm fine. It's still down south. The cost of living is nice. And I think North Carolina, I could do Raleigh. I could do Charlotte. I could hang here. And the Lord was like, no, just ride. Virginia pops up. And I'm like, well, look, now I'm getting close to Maryland. So I like to hang on the outskirts of Virginia, just crossing the North Carolina line. Because, see, I believe, Lord, if I stay here, I'm going to be successful. The Lord said, keep riding. We're getting closer to Fredericksburg, where stuff starts happening. Prices start changing. The cost of living goes higher, and it's too much traffic. And I said, Lord, well, you know, can I stop in Ashland? Right? At least I'd be close to Kings Dominion so I can get me some season passes. Keep riding. So I finally arrived in Maryland. I said, Lord, why here? He said, because if you make it here, because I made it for you. Because you can't do it on your own. In other words, God is not about to put you somewhere where he gets no glory. See, I can make it in South Carolina. I can do it down south because I was already down there doing it on a nickel and a dime. But to come here and not have the income to flow with. So some of us are in places that God can't bless because we won't move. We won't be obedient to the call and leave what we are familiar with and leave what we already know. And so we get stuck in a rut. But Abraham had to go. And the Bible says that he left with his family. With all that he had to leave with. Amen? You know he had family members who were there who didn't go, who was in his ear. Abraham, you know you ain't got no business going nowhere, man. You 75 years old. This is everything you know right here. Why would you leave where this is our place? But Abraham is being obedient to who? Who is influencing Abraham? So he has to allow the influence of God to penetrate his life to be able to do greater things than he can imagine, because at 75, I'm not about to have no more children. But God told him that if you leave, I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to make you a great nation. And I'm going to bless those who are around you. So let me say this. If you are following God, then you should be blessed. If you are being blessed, then others around you should also be blessed. So if you're not being blessed because you are not where God wants you to be, and others around you are not being blessed because you are not doing what God has called you to do, then what are you doing? See, it is important and imperative for us to be right where God wants us. If I had stayed in Atlanta, what happens to the mountain? So a lot of folks don't understand that I got here in 2003. In 2004, my father was diagnosed with terminal cancer. Now, when I was in Atlanta, I couldn't know that. See, the thing about being obedient to God and following God is that it ain't about all of your questions. Lord, how in the world am I going to go there when I don't even have a job? How am I going to go there when I don't know what I'm doing? How am I going to go and leave? I mean, I'm comfortable right here. I got a nice house. I got everything I need. I can start my own church. But what happens to people when you are not following your assignment from God? See, God knew what I didn't know. He knew that my father was not going to be here. I didn't know that. He knew that the mount would be chased or positioned with having to find a new pastor. So all of the stuff that we don't think about, he already knows. Even Abraham, he knows that I'm going to give Abraham a seed. But just because you follow God, just because you are obedient to God, does not mean you always stay on track. Because Abraham was smart enough to leave his place of domicile, go to where he didn't have no idea where he was going. And God told him that he would give him a seed. But as time passed, the thing about us is when we want God to bless us, we want it yesterday. See, we know that God has moved us and we are involved in the move and we're happy and we're excited. But Lord, now that you got me here, why is it taking so long to get me to where I need to go? Why is it taking so long for me to understand the fruits of my labor? And so what Abraham did, him and Sarah, is they began to do a little bit of lying. Yeah, they did some lying along the road. Or let's just say some half-truths, which ends up being what? A lie. He said, look, I need you to tell these Egyptians and everybody that you're my sister. That way they ain't going to kill me. Why would God send you somewhere to destroy you before his promise was fulfilled? All right. Not only that, it came a point when they was getting even older and Sarah said, look, you don't have a seed yet. Sleep with my handmaid. Hey, God. Abraham is the obedient man following God, sleeps with her. They have a son. This is not the promised child. You're out of order. No one asked you for your input. If I'm sending you on an assignment, let me take care of the details. Just because it ain't happening when you want it to happen does not mean I and forgot. I've sent you on an assignment. And so if you're going to allow me to have influence over your life, then you have to allow me to be able to do what it is that I do. Don't just leave and say I'm following you, and then when you get there, start following yourself. You see, God sends us to churches, and we get there because he sent us. But then once we get there, we stop doing what he wants us to do and start doing what we want to do. You know how we get to meddling and stuff? talking about pastor, he ain't this, pastor ain't that. You know how they folk, they're gonna elbow you. Talking about, what are you talking about now? God sent you somewhere, but because you refuse to follow and stay obedient, you get caught up in a conundrum, and then you're trying to figure out why you're not being blessed, why the folks around you aren't being blessed, because you're out of order. Under the influence. We know that the child didn't come till he was in his 90s. Once the child came, God told him to sacrifice the promised one. Okay, Lord, now hold up. I understand you got me out of my comfort zone. I followed you out here into the wilderness, into nowhere. I know I messed up. I did some stuff out of order. Then I got it back together. And you allowed the promised son to come. And now you're asking me to sacrifice the seed. How in the world can I become a great nation if I don't have a seed? But Abraham didn't ask those questions. Because he realized that if I'm going to follow God, I got to stay with him the whole way. I got to stay in it to win it. So when I left Atlanta, I had to realize that I was coming for God. If I'm coming for God, then I got to do what God has called me to do. And so when I began to have conversation with my father, he said, I want you to co-pastor with me. I knew that would never happen. There's no way in the world I knew that we could ever come together and co-pastor, because the minute I said something, he would have overrode it. When he overrode it, I'm like, well, I'm out. I'm serious. You got to understand where you are in Christ. And so when my father said he wanted me to co-pastor, it's not like the regular family business. Well, I'm just going to assume the responsibility and come in and do. When you're dealing with God and you're dealing with God's people, you need a call on your life. You need to know that not just man wants you, but God wants you. And so I understood, because I never had a call from God, that Mount Moriah was where I was going to be. All I knew was that he wanted me here and I was coming to pastor. And so because I told my father, until God tells me, I can't say yeah. So when God decides to tell me, it's in 2005, while he's in his full-blown cancer. I hear a message from another young preacher who ain't even preaching no more. See, this is what I want you to understand. When you're under the influence of God, you got to allow him to affect you wherever you are. This young preacher who had his trial sermon isn't preaching no more because, for whatever reason, he had a disagreement with the pastor. But for one moment in time, he had to preach to me. And he preached, what happens to the people if Jesus responds incorrectly in the wilderness? All right. And so God asked me the question while I was sitting there. He flipped it. What happens to the people of Mount Moriah if you respond incorrectly to what I'm asking? I said, well, Lord, I understood that clearly. So I called up my mother and said, look, tell my father that I will offer myself up. He said, hallelujah. And I never spoke to him since about it. That was the last piece for him. But God never wanted us to confer with one another about me taking leadership. Yeah. For whatever reason, I have no idea. But to be obedient to God means you have to trust that he knows what's best. Even though you don't understand it. Even though you don't understand it. Even though you don't understand it. A lot of people want an explanation. They want an answer for everything. When you're dealing with God, you're not going to get an answer for everything. And as a preacher, I don't have the answer for everything. The greatest joy I get about being a pastor is saying simply this: I don't know. You see, people want to put stuff on you as if you know it all. I struggle the same way everybody else struggles. I deal with issues the same way everybody else deals with issues. So I don't know it all, but I have an insight to what he gives me. And what he gives me is what I go with. See, I'm not the kind that's going to tell you, but the Lord told me to tell you this when the Lord ain't told me nothing. Because when something does not happen, you're going to come back to me and say, well, I thought the Lord told you to tell. It was you. You sinning. You doing something that's wrong. No, if I tell you the Lord sent me to tell you something, you better believe he sent me to tell you. And if he sent me to tell you, it's because he already done told you. I'm only confirming what he told you. He's not going to give me something new that he never gave you. If it is, I don't know what God you serving. Under the influence. And so Abraham, being obedient, went to sacrifice his son. God stopped him and said, I just wanted to make sure you was on board. How many of you been tested like that? I just want to make sure you're on board. You see, everybody can say they love me. But when it comes time to true worship and true service, people get kind of iffy here. You know, when things don't go your way, when you ain't happy about nothing, and everything don't move you, and you just kind of come along going with the program, but when God is in the mix, you don't care what's going on around you, because my joy is in God and not in man. See, I've been on this journey for a little while. I realized that man will fail you. I learned that, though, from reading Genesis. If you don't learn that from Genesis, to Adam and Eve, then if you think I'm unfallible, then something's wrong. But I tell you what, I am obedient to what God gives me because I'm under his influence. Whoever controls you, whoever you allow to influence you, is who's God over your life. What pulls your strings? Because you got to realize that if food has power over you, then it's going to influence everything you do. If you can't go to bed without getting that late midnight snack, then food is a god. And you're allowing it to influence your behavior. If it's a man in your life, and you find yourself doing stuff that you ordinarily wouldn't even do, but because you want this man, because you got to have this man, you find yourself compromising who you are. You find yourself turning your back on God just to follow a man to say, I got somebody. So this man who is influencing you because you have given up the influence to him. Remember, even Satan himself can't influence you unless you allow him. He can go before God. He can pray over you. He can ask the Lord, can I have him? But if God don't say no, he can't have you. If God says yes, then now it's up to you to say no. God will push him to push you to bring you closer to him. But if you can recognize the enemy's attack, you can stop the attack. Alcohol. If you give your power to alcohol, guess who's pulling your strings? Jack Daniels, Jim Beam, Johnny, well, look at him. Johnny Walker, there it is. Whoop, there it is. If you allow it to have influence over your life, then it's going to run you and ruin you. Because whoever you give the power is who's controlling you. Whosever hand you place your life in is what's controlling your life. You become a puppet. And you think you got this thing figured out. You think, well, I'm in control. You aren't in control of anything that influences you. That television, oh, it's got major influence, don't it? You don't even realize it, but the television is puppeting you like a string. As it moves you right over to your house from work. It sets you in your chair, picks your arm up toward the remote, pick up the remote, come, lay your head back, flip it, and click it. And until the puppet master picks you back up, guess what? You're going to be stuck right there in front of a television, trying to figure out why your life is going south. Remember, if you're following God, then let him influence you. Let him lead you. Let him guide you. Because if he's not doing it, somebody else is. Who's ever you willing to give your life to. That's who pulls your strings. In other words, if I can make it clear, your life is influenced by whose ever hand you're in. If it's a young man, he got you. If it's a young woman, he got you. She got you. Whoever controls the strings, whoever you give rein, is how your life is going to end up. And remember, if you are where God wants you to be, then you should be doing what? Being blessed. If you're being blessed, then you should be what? A blessing to others. But if none of these things are occurring, you got to check whose hands you're in. You see, a hammer in my hands is just a nice tool. But a hammer in Noah's hand would help him build an ark to save a remnant of a dying world. Because it all depends on whose hand it's in. A dove in my hand. It's just a pretty bird. But a dove in Noah's hands held out of the ark would save a dying world. Because it all depends on whose hand it's in. A rod in my hands is just a walking stick. But a rod in Moses' hand stretched out across the Red Sea will part the problems in your life because it all depends on whose hand it's in. You see, a jawbone in my hand is nothing more than the skeletal remains of a dead animal. But a jawbone in Samson's hands is a mighty weapon that would slay all of his enemies. Because it all depends on whose hand it's in. Two pillars between my hands is nothing more than a nice pose for a picture. But two pillars between Samson's hands would be a burial place for a Philistine nation. Because it all depends on whose hand it's in. Five smooth stones in a slingshot in my hands is nothing but a kid's toy. But five smooth stones in a slingshot in David's hands will drop the giants in your life. Because it all depends on whose hand it's in. A dead child in my hands is a funeral procession waiting to happen. But a dead child in Jesus' hand is just asleep and will soon rise again. Because it all depends on whose hand it's in. Spit and dirt in my hands is nothing more than a nasty mess. But spit and dirt in Jesus' hands will help a blind man from birth see for the very first time. Because it all depends on whose hand it's in. Two fish and five loaves of bread in my hands is nothing more than a two-piece snack. But two fish and five loaves in Jesus' hands is an all-you-can-eat buffet. Because it all depends on whose hand it's in. Nails in my hands might get you a picture hung. But nails in Jesus' hand, stretched out on a cross, hung up between two thieves, is the perfect picture of salvation. Because it all depends on whose hand it's in. Keys in my hands might get you into my house, but keys in Jesus' hands early on a Sunday morning after getting up with all power, but one day lock the gates of hell and open the doors of heaven, because it all depends on whose hand it's in. Your life in your hands is a mess, but your life in Jesus' hands. Who controls your life? Jay, I know you're on your way, but you got to put your life in his hands. In his hands, you'll get straight A's. In his hands, you'll live the right life. And you may even make some mistakes from time to time. But I want you to understand this. The Bible says that we were made in his image. And so God's hand is like our hand. And if you look at your hand, you're going to see some stuff in there that you got to pay close attention to. There's a lot of lines and crooks and cracks and crevices. So when you put both of these hands together, it's just like God's hand being cupped. And so from time to time, you're going to roll. But if you roll inside of God's hands, you're going to get stuck in a crack. In other words, he's not ever going to let you go. And you ain't big enough that you get out. So you got to understand that it all depends on whose hand it's in. Everything you do, everywhere you go, it depends on that. You can give yourself over to the Satan. You can give yourself over to women. You can give yourself over to men. All kind of strange stuff that's out there. But nothing will hold you like his unchanging hand. Whose influence are you under? If you're under his, stay in his hands. If you stay in his hands, you can't go wrong. Doors of the church are open this morning.